Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
So, Jules, we're missing somebody this week.
I didn't do it.
I know.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you.
This time.
But, yeah, we're going to be out a null this week. And maybe next week. Not sure yet.
Well, we'll see what happens in the future. Yeah. Soldier on, sir.
Yeah, he's taking care of his wife, so
he'd kick his ass if he didn't, you know.
I know. We, the two of us, are going to go ahead and attack this fun topic we've got here tonight. But first, what have you been up to for the last week?
I have been fighting myself in a moral quandary. You're going to love this. You know the Shadowrun book, Cutting Aces?
Yes.
And then we got to do, you know, we did that. And we got, I don't want to review the Shadowrun Tarot book, you know, the source, the Deep Shadows book, because I don't want to. Because I've already been busting my butt a little bit, going a little nuts with the ARG game. And I actually figured out a couple of things. It's like, dude, I decoded binary, and then I threw that into, I got that phrase, and I threw that phrase into a couple of other things, and I'm like, I don't know how deep this rabbit hole's going. And I don't want, let's just put it this way. Certain things I actually legitimately figured out, but I'm thinking I'll read the book and I'm going like, my God, I'm an idiot.
No. I actually have been reading that book as well. And I am about a third of the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been able to read this one.
Oh, I know it's easy reading comparatively.
It is way better of a book. But
the
that's,
thing is,
that's a different topic.
Ciphers and codes and looking at stuff, interpreting, finding stuff.
It is left.
You know, I thought
is
I was
left
good.
Purposefully vague.
No, here's the thing. You haven't been playing with the deck. I have.
Yeah, I know.
I
really want to play. I'm going to get a deck, I think.
I have
at
it.
Origins.
I already have the deck. I've already been playing around with it. I already noticed a whole bunch of things. And I started doing just a teeny weeny bit of reading. I'm like,
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I know I'm an idiot, but I don't want to know how much.
No. Actually, there's a lot of that is actually kept really, like, for that book, it's kept really vague. So that makes it nice and easy to use. So
now, the thing is, like, the one thing that kind of stinks is that if you want to run using it, you don't get to play some of the ARG.
Okay.
You know, and for me, it was a mental exercise, and I really kind of enjoyed that. And now I'm like,
Yeah.
That, and I think I might have torn my collar. my rotator cuff again.
Oh.
Either that or strained it. I went climbing, and that was awesome. My awesome flexibility. It's, I'm pulling it, and I bring my leg all the way up. You know, it's like I got my knee in my armpit. You know, yeah. I'm fine. I'm like, ah, yeah, do this. And they're looking at me like I'm kind of weird. I'm like, because most people I found out can't push.
Yeah.
From that kind of, I'm like, oh, hey, look at the freak. Yay.
Yeah.
So I had a blast. Wicked fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love you, Gwen. You were awesome. No, she taught Zippy and me. And I actually successfully completed 3. I got a third on one and halfway on the other. And I'm like, yes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing this again.
Nice.
I am doing this again. And a lot more. I'm going to hurt myself. I know it.
Probably.
It's going to be funny.
Probably. We've got where I'm moving next month. There's a rock climbing place like 3 blocks from the house.
Oh, lucky.
So
wall climbing, I didn't realize how much fun I would actually have. Surprising, I did. I was expecting to cry in the corner while everyone else is having fun. And everyone's like, haha, they can't do it. And I'm like,
yeah.
All right, I'm going up. Hey, look. Wow. Hey, I got all the way up. Cool. Yeah. So that was fun.
That's cool.
How about you, dude?
Well,
aside from packing for the move.
I have been packing for the move. Somewhat. It's actually slowed down a lot because we've got so much stuff already packed. And we're like, we have to move this stuff before we can continue to pack for this move.
We have to pack before we can pack. So I packed her packs, etc.
Yeah, so like next week, we get our storage locker and start moving stuff into there. And that's,
you got a truck, right?
Yeah.
That's already, dude, means you don't have to find a friend. You already have a truck.
I already have a truck, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to find
a
friend.
It's a full size, so I don't have to worry at all.
So. Those scare me. I can never see over the dash in those.
Oh, I love my truck. My truck is wonderful.
So what else? I saw all the minis.
Yeah, I've been working on minis a little bit here and there.
Little?
Yeah, that's just a little. I think I've got 20 or 30 sitting on my rack right now that I need to get done before my bone set comes. Yeah. And then,
yeah, I say I only got 30. I'm like, only. You got to make that problem.
No, I don't have a problem. When
yeah, you do.
No, hold on.
How the hell are you going to move all of those?
Well, the Reaper Bones ones, they're already being shipped to the house where we're moving to. So I don't have to move those.
Oh, whoop. Bonus on that one. But you have a lot of others.
I do. Most of them are actually already contained because I use tackle, like I have some Plano, like front drop, like big plastic things for like tackle boxes that I keep my minis in so that I can find them. And I've got two of those, and then I've got a bunch of like the pre-painted stuff that's all just in like, I've got them like separated out by like, you know, kind of like gross things, like here's the common undead and here's all the colossal things and this is all of, you know, my giants and my minotaurs, you know, and I've got everything kind of broken down so that I can find it in my drawers, because all of those I just keep in drawered like containers, and I like hot like dividers and stuff in it so that I could actually fill it. And then once I get the bone stuff in, that's going to be the trick to find out how I'm going to hide all of these things in places, because I've got so many to do. But, you know, that's not the worst part. The worst part was is that yesterday a new Kickstarter for minis started up, and I may or may not have pledged for that one too. It's only 203 on that one. But it's all like landscape-y type bits and stuff, which is stuff that's a lot harder to find. It's got walls and hedgerows, and like there's an abandoned mine set, and it's just really cool. There will be links in the in the doobly-doo down at the bottom, because that is my shout-out, too.
Awesome.
And we're going to try to post this up before that Kickstarter ends, so people that want to get in on it can.
Hurry.
Yeah, I'm going to try to put that one out, like, this week, so that there's, like, a week left, because it ends in 17 days, and we're recording on April 27th, so 17 days from today is when it ends. So get out there and put some money towards this, because it's really awesome. But that is not what we're here to talk about today, even though Minis is fun. We are, in fact, here to talk about the other thing that goes with that, which is props. Because...
Well, we talked about Minis last time. It, of course, it's going to bleed over.
And I love Minis.
I know you do.
But yeah, props. Now, what is the difference between a prop and a mini at your table?
What are you asking? Or are you being rhetorical here?
Well, what do you consider to be a prop?
Pretty much any type of fizz rep for stuff that you actually might have in game. Steve. Oy. Poor Steve. One of the guys I used to game with, work with, poor dude, what he would actually do is he actually would have a, best way to put it, a scroll case. And he actually would write out what scrolls he had, you know, so it was that kind of thing. It's like, would he think to use it? It kind of helped him almost as a crutch.
Oh, that is amazing.
Zippy, on the other hand, you're going to like this. He had that whole animal familiar combined with being it was a companion and familiar, and you merged the two.
Okay.
I don't remember the whole thing. But pretty much what he did, he decided to go with a Danikiosaur. And it almost had an intelligence higher than his. Not quite. He had an intelligence of 18. This thing had, I think, 12 or 16. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, smart. But we joked, it was the Velociraptor. So we're in the dollar. It gets better. We're in the dollar store, and he sees it kind of looks like it's a generic, you know, carnivore dinosaur, mm-hmm. you know, put over your head thing. You know, so when he actually could play the animal companion with intelligence.
Yeah.
So he'd actually, you know, walk around just like, you know, he'd do that. And he'd just look at things like sniff, like, oh, you're being stupid. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, that's
fun.
You know, you can have like physical props. Peter, who I love to death, he got this awesome cap of awesome. I can't remember all the things it does, but it's like bonuses and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So our DM, it's kind of, our DM is two people, kind of, sort of. Well, she goes and she gets a piece of newspaper and folds it up, you know, like those, remember those old paper hats?
Yeah.
And he wears it and he brings it to every game, and he actually does, if he forgets to take the hat off, the effect is still going. So, and he doesn't, he's like, I forgot to take the hat off. It actually has that physical kind of almost like a merch thing, but it's this huge, hilarious paper hat.
Oh, that's awesome.
See, how about you, dude?
Okay, so props to me, even minis qualify as props because they're a proxy for something that you are trying to visualize. But this is kind of where I separate. Minis are their own type of prop.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like you said, like a physical representation of something else in the game. So, like, because I'm a glutton for things like that, I was running an Age of Worms game, which was a campaign that was done by Paizo back in the 3.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that thing, there's a letter that you find. And you find a vial with anybody that knows, like, old school D&D knows the Sons of Caius, which are a form of undead that have these worms that are constantly like running over their like through their bodies, like eating the flesh, all of them. And they're reconstituting the flesh like constantly in this like vicious cycle.
Ew.
But they're undead. Well, in this guy's like work area, they find a letter from somebody, and they find a vial with one of these worms like suspended in the vial. And because my wife is the most amazing crafty person in the entire universe, she sat down and sculpted a worm.
Ew.
And we used the and painted it so it looks like a worm of Caius. And then it's suspended in this, like, the clear acrylic water.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like he's in this vial, and there's, like, even air bubbles in the vial because it took so long for it to cure.
Ew.
Oh, it is so cool, though.
Creepy.
And the letter, like, I mean, I aged the paper, and I literally printed it off of out of my printer. And then I used, like, I roughed the edges, and I soaked it in coffee.
Oh.
Because coffee darkens it much faster than tea. Tea is very slow, and it takes a lot of work to get it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want it to look really dark pretty fast, you can soak it in coffee. And, like, I crumpled it up and then smoothed it out and beat it up and then got it all wet, and I stuck it in the oven and I heated it. So it started to, like, I mean, this thing looks amazing. I'll take a picture of it and post it with the show notes. Also, the Worm of Caius. But I've also done things for props, like feathers in a bottle, like almost like for like spell components. I also make for players that have like archery, like they shoot and stuff. Like I make these little arrows out of, it's going to sound totally hilarious when I say this, but they're plastic like skewers.
Mm-hmm.
And the ends are hearts, but when I do them, I paint them so they look like feathers.
Ooh.
And I paint the tip so it's got a silver tip, and I make like a foam quiver, and I fill it with 20 arrows. And every character that shoots gets their quiver every session.
Ooh.
So they always, and then they put them in, I made a barrel that they can put them in as they shoot them.
Oh, nice. So you actually keep track of
how many you have left.
Oh, my God.
So, and I mean, I got that one from, there's a guy who does some really amazing stuff online, and his name's DM Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like props and landscaping and stuff like that. And that's where I stole that idea, and I made them. And they look really cool. So I've got my normal arrows, and then I've got like magic arrows.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to do that.
And I've got magic ones. So I've got like plus ones and plus twos, and I can pass out like, oh, you only have five of those? Here's your five. Better be careful with them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. And
monstrous. I
mean, it's fun. And keeps it from getting boring, because like receiving a physical letter, like when I first gave the characters the letter and the vial, like they kept the letter, like they would give the letter back.
Oh God, yeah. No. That's standard.
And it was just like, oh my God, I need that letter because there's something on there that I needed to know that I had said. And
yeah,
so.
But-
It is what it is, but yeah, that's.
Well, our DM. Holy crap. Pretty much is that team is like the king and queen of using props.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I'm not kidding. It's like, you know, we're coming up and we're doing this absolutely bananas, crazy, you know, I play Skull Crusher the Barbarian. I know, right. Big surprise, big deal. All right. But here's what happens is we get, so we're running around, we're doing it with my character's tribe, we fun. So what happens is, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you see a huge monster and it's like, what is it? And it's two giant Tendricula monsters.
Yeah.
And our DM, Nella's wife, reaches off to the sides and pulls out two wee potted plants and pops them right on the grid.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, it was delightful. Absolutely delightful.
That is amazing.
But you're like, oh, come on. No, and these were real plants. Turns out she'd been doing plant cuttings, and so, you know, after we defeated them, we got to take the plants home. I'm not kidding. It was adorable.
That is fun.
You know, so we did that. We had, there was the Tendricula. There was, well, here's the cool thing also, and it helps the players like a metric ton. Is that when we, pretty much if we did something for like the Watch or the Delver's Guild or something like that, you know, something similar.
Yeah.
What would happen is, you know, she'd actually have these little cards printed out with what the favor was, and it's awesome. You know.
Oh, fun.
So. You know, so it's just like from the Dwarves or the Delver's Guild or something like that.
Yeah.
And it would tell you what the favor was. And it's kind of cool depending on who gave it to us. So there was like the Alethorn Winery. So it looked very, very nice with filigree. And when they got a favor from the Skull Crusher Clan, it, you know, it was done in kind of big block lettering. Skull and Crossbones is like... You call, we crush.
That is fun.
Yeah, but we'll put some pictures of what some of the other kind of, you know, stuff we've got. Oh man, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I still have. It was the first physical prop I ever got, and I am playing Skull Crusher, and you know the Barbarian, rah rah rah, and I come and I get handed, you know, and it looks like leather. It's not quite leather. It's kind of like faux leather, but it has like fake, like fur on it and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's two bones, you know, I'm like, I untie it and unwrap it. I'm like, fluff, fluff. And it's letter from my character's dad. It's from father Skull Crusher to daughter Skull Crusher. Of course.
Of course.
Of course. But I still have that. Like, and I... You know, usually, you know, okay, use a favor, you hand it in. I'm like, can we just get a stamp on these? I want to keep them.
Yeah.
You know, like the letter. That's why we want to keep them, because they're cool and they're physical reminders of also the cool stuff we did. And, you know, and yeah, like when we used a favor, it ran on the back what we used it for. Big deal.
Yeah.
But man, it's fun. You know, especially you get to, you know, Peter walking around with a goofy hat or, you know, me going up. And, you know, going with, I'm, because we're all playing, I'm playing, yeah. I'm like, Dad, you learned how to write. You spelled word wrong. death has an A in it. A look like skull, help you remember. And the reason Skull Crusher speaks like that is because, she can speak normally, but she finds it like a time waster. So I'm laughing my brains out. And they're like, wait. It's like, she can spell? I'm like, yes, grammar. Shut up.
Yeah. See, yeah. And oh, I've been toying around with stuff like that. Oh, by the way,
did you see the Tendricula picture?
Yes. Yeah, we will definitely be posting a set of pictures for this show.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All the different type of... The thing is, like, also, when you do that kind of stuff for your player, like, you know, like you find like a teeny fairy's like cup or something like that, and you give them a teeny weeny egg cup. There's also that kind of like immersion and kind of specialness.
Yeah.
You know, and when they see it, you know, it's like, you put it all, you know, off to the side, and then you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
It makes the players feel special.
Yeah.
I rambled there for a bit. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm actually working on when I start my next big campaign. I'm doing.
How many do you have going, dude?
Right. I've only got one.
Okay.
I've got my Shattered Star game, and when that one wraps up, so they're halfway through it. So when that one wraps up, then I'm going to go and I'm going to take another big break, and that's when I'm going to be working on getting the next thing together.
Oh.
But when I do it, it's going to be an all Underdark game. And my hope is that by that point, I can create a leather-bound booklet for the how to, like, you know, all of the, like, characters, basic mm-hmm. character information will be in the front, and the rest of the booklet is going to be, it's actually a book, but the rest of it is going to be all their notes.
Oh.
So they'll have an entire book that will be the party's book for everything that they've done.
So that's going to be interesting.
Big, big book of all of their fun stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be neat to see.
Heck yeah.
Once I get it all done.
Oh, yeah. So. And the thing is, like, it sounds like your players are very much like the players that, you know, I go with, is, you know, they find that kind of stuff actually useful.
Yes. The one thing that my party does do is every table uses either laptop or an iPad for Hero Labs. And I got to play with having Hero Labs at the table as a player.
Oh.
And I realized that it pulled me so far out of mm-hmm. the game that I was, like, not even engaged.
Yeah. I mean, Hero Lab, this is the reason there are printouts.
Yeah.
Because some people...
Yeah, and for me, that's how it is. I'm a very old school player. I don't like having all of that technology sitting in front of me.
I guess it's because I'm ADD, is... You know, I like having Hero Lab, you know, the program open, because it's a lot easier and I can hover and I can, you know, keep my stuff.
Yeah.
But I have to be extremely disciplined not to anything else, no Google, no nothing, you know. Yes. I'll shut off any type of wired connectivity, this and that and the other, because the printouts are great. But if it's something else I'm coming across, Hero Lab has a nice, look it up feature.
Yeah.
But, and also, just, they can't put everything on the printout. They can put a lot. So, yeah. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's just
have to
me.
Be very careful to do that. No, because I will be brought out, because I'll start deep diving something else.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
Exactly. So, yeah, for me, I just can't do it. And I've realized that now. So, but yeah. Oh, yeah, I get to play now for a change. I'm playing in a Savage Worlds game.
Ooh.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic is really cool.
You're doing which one? Deadlands, Hell on Earth, or?
Broken Earth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really
fun. Wait, you're actually going to play?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And I'm going to be playing in a Shadowrun game, too.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I'm going to have to cut some things here soon.
Eventually?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, well, my wife might have me. If I don't cut something, something might get cut on me.
Good point. So, no, I know how that goes.
Yep. So, yeah.
I know how it goes. It gets a little...
Yeah. So...
So, that should be fun.
Yeah, but it's a 20th anniversary game. And we'll see how it goes. I've never played with these guys before. And I will be starting on Sunday. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You have to let me know.
Give me a break. Let me recharge my batteries a little bit for some things. And and then get back into hopefully being able to churn out the last three books of this other Intrapath so that I can eventually start on mine, which will be tied in with some of the Patreon stuff that's going to be getting worked on, which is going to be my game world. I'm going to start putting stuff as I write it for patrons on there. And then if I get enough, I'll actually create an actual podcast for all of that stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Totally cool. Yeah, little jealous.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'll be working on a lot, too. Trying to get my world build stuff all caught up, and that'll all probably happen after this move. Because I will need the time to move and then set stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, yeah. So, we are going to slide very deftly now in our ponderous stat blocks. And now we enter stat blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight. Okay. So, you will see, according to the lovely thing, I am actually going to be creating a PDF download attachment for the show that is going to be a letter of marque that you can use in your game. And for those who don't know, letters of marque were used by privateers to make them not pirates anymore. Because you were working for a crown. So.
Oh.
It was the legal letter that let you be a pirate. Or a privateer, as the case was.
Point.
So, yeah. So I'm going to put that letter together so that people can just print it off. It'll have a little, like little seal thing and everything. So. That might take a little bit to do, but yeah, that's the game plan. I want to try to get that done, and the letter's pretty well written already, so.
Cool.
Yeah. So, what do you have?
Oh, God. I hate to say this, people, but you're not surprised. I am a dark motherfucker. So, today, I bring you the Fated. Always on the very edge of memory live the Fated. They are what's left when you and the world have finished with them, ground into ashes and vague recollections. They were once people. They could have been your friends, your co-workers, patrons. But how their peers perceived them, how the world perceived them, and how you perceived them, ultimately cursed them. In your world, in your life's narrative, you saw them simply as support. To be used to further your own end, for advancement, for money, for fame, for power, for your own pride. In your eyes, they had no value except what they could provide you. And as you grew in power, in fame, in stature, the curse of the Fated began to manifest. And when you had no use for them, they became immaterial to your life. They were like broken tools. They had no use. You forgot about them. You discarded them. They moved on, searching for someone, something, to give them substance, a meaning, a value. Most never find it. For a very lucky few, they meet an individual who gives in addition to taking. This helps the fading process. For the rest of the faded, each time this cycle repeats, they start to disappear. They effectively fade from memory. Forgotten first by distant acquaintances, then neighbors and coworkers, followed by friends and family. Ultimately, even the world itself forgets them. Records of their existence, birth records, photos, passports, cease to exist. The curse is now complete. But the faded retain their minds, their memories, their personality and emotions. And since they're not part of the world anymore, the rules of the world don't apply to them. They can pretty much affect the world how they wish. A kind faded may act as a guardian angel, or even a fairy godmother. A mischievous faded becomes the gremlins that screw up the computer, or hide your car keys, or put your glasses on your head. But beware the faded of pain and rage. They are the ones who have seen hell and lived through it. And now they bring it with them.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
What?
I like it. I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was dark good. As fuck.
Well, yeah, but that's what makes it good.
I'm surprised.
There's nothing wrong with dark. I like dark stuff. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Who knew, huh?
Right? That was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Told you not to read ahead.
See? Told you not to read ahead. I didn't. I beeped you. So, all right. Well, let's slide right into our next topic, which is lexicon.
Yay, word man.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
And lexicon, the word that we're going to go with today is pygmy.
Have you been playing Dark Souls?
No, but I actually did this one about 5 weeks ago. I put these all together like 5 or 6 weeks ago. And I just, because I've got a big list, and I just picked them at random off of that list. And that one, yeah, I did a bunch of these show notes, like, for this part ahead of schedule. And that way I don't have to, like, try to crush it all in at the last second while we're sitting here talking. So, pygmy is a noun, and its definition is as the often capitalized version is any of a race of dwarves described by ancient Greek authors. And as the capitalized pygmy, it is any of the small people of equatorial Africa ranging under 5 feet in height. And then under 5 feet.
That's me. But I'm not from Africa.
Right.
But, yeah.
And our third is actually broken into two, which is an unusually small person or an insignificant or unimpressive person, like an intellectual pygmy.
Or in Dark Souls, the furtive pygmy. He's the one got the dark soul. Nice. And everyone ignored him and forgot him.
Nice.
You know, that kind of, yeah, that's the one with the dark souls, because you find, they found four lord souls, and they go and describe them. And the dark soul was found by the furtive pygmy, so often forgot, or something similar. I can't remember the exact words. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Go watch the opening cinematic of Dark Souls. It's pretty sweet.
Okay. Yeah, so our origin and etymology. As we start with... technically, it starts from Greek, which is pygmios, which from pygme, which is fist, which is a measure of length. And then that got transferred into Latin, which is pygmius, of a pygmy dwarfish. And then Middle English, which is pygmy.
Okay.
And its first known use was the 14th century. So, there we go. That is our lexicon. Short and sweet.
Oh, I wouldn't really call that sweet, but you know.
It is short. So, all right. Now, for some closing remarks, Jules.
How come I got to go first?
Because we already know what mine is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. God. I'm embarrassed. Okay.
I have two, so. Yeah.
Okay. Because I kind of had to, but right, I'm putting in two then.
Go for it.
In memory, since Noel cannot be here.
Right.
One of them is a game. It's on Steam. It's called Hollow Knight. Donkey actually engine is kind of like a 2D Dark Souls-esque side-scroller, and it's difficult as heck, but it's absolutely beautiful. It kind of has an aesthetic of Dark Souls meets Ori and the Blind Forest and Dusk and Elysian Tale.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's like, and you're fighting, you're some kind of like beetle creature. It's kind of cool. And you go around and like all these things are like insects, but they're old and fallen, and you're trying to figure out what exactly happened and what you are. And I like it. I think it's quite clever.
Okay.
You know? And, God, I hate myself for it, but, Double Fine, Tim Schafer. When LucasArts reigns supreme. The second one I have is called Full Throttle. You can get it on, GOG.com, Good Old Games.
Okay.
The game came out, I want to say, in 1998. It was one of the few LucasArts games I didn't get a chance to play. You know, but during that time, they're the ones, Curse of Monkey Island, Day of the Tentacle, Grim Fandango.
Okay.
But one of the last ones I did was Full Throttle. It's not the... All right, it's not going to be super duper awesome, you know, game mechanics. It's a point and click adventure. The combat's a little clunky.
Okay.
But one, it's hilarious. It's biker things. And they have this musical group that I actually remember from back in the day, and I think I found out about it because a friend of mine played the game and then introduced me to the Gone Jackals. The Gone Jackals are awesome. But I'm playing this, and it's fun, and, you know, it's ridiculous. And there are so many Star Wars refs in there because they could do it because it was owned by LucasArts at the time.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. They have one of the motorcycle gangs kind of look like... Not the Jawas. What were the other ones?
The Sand People?
Thank you. Yep. Their goggles made them look like sand people.
Oh,
it was
that's
hilarious.
Funny.
Oh, it's great. And there's, like I said, there's just so many just little, and it's all about your motorcycle and just so many. It's just great puns. So many bad puns. I recommend it. It's fun. It's kind of nostalgic, but they remastered it, so the voice is better, the graphics are better, it's smoother. But man, it still had that old LucasArts charm.
Okay, so that's
check
cool.
them out. Sorry, I kind of rambled on a bit
no,
there.
No, that's cool.
I lost an entire night playing
that.
Oh gosh, yeah, because I didn't realize because the music's good, and I didn't realize I'm like, ah, so much fun, and then I look at the clock, I'm like, I just screwed up my day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. All right. So, here we go.
Go you.
All right. So, one is a TV show.
Ooh.
And it is... the name of the show is Border Town. And it's on Netflix right now. And... If you like American Dad, you like Family Guy. Think that in a town on the Mexican border.
All right, is this animated or?
Yes, it is an animation. It is. It is so many like racial stereotypes about white people. It's and like the second main character is the Mexican guy who's actually better off than the white guy in the town.
Oh boy.
And it is hilarious how people just make fun of him and beat him up and just it is very satirical and it's very much it's saying a lot about the type of people that let fear rule them in this country.
Okay.
It's the only way I can describe it. It's funny. So watch it. It's not going to be for everybody. I'm going to tell you that right now, but it's funny. I like it. And the other one is the Mantic Games Kickstarter.
Already mentioned before, but
already
I like it.
Already mentioned before.
I know, but
it is.
I know. Do you want to mention maybe a couple of their stretch goals or some of the other stuff that you've seen of theirs?
They actually are a regular game company out of Maryland.
Yay, Maryland Woods.
Yeah. And they funded this thing in 90 minutes.
What?
Yeah. It funded in 90 minutes.
Dang.
Yeah. I was just like, holy crap. They did this in 90 minutes. And they're called terrain crates. And there are three different types. There's the dungeon, which has a couple of sets. There's the battlefield, which has another four sets. And then there's the town. And they each have, like I said, four different sets in them. And, like, the dungeon one has a wizard study, and it's got, like, bookshelves, and there's an owl on a perch, and a stack of books, and a desk, and then there's, like, the abandoned mine, which has a couple of mine carts, and some track that you can lay down, and little piles of rubble. And then there's the treasure room with just these huge piles of treasure and like stacks of armor and cool things like that. And then there's another one that's like debris and it's like crates and some barrels and some broken bricks and, you know, rats and skulls. And each one of these in less than one day, they hit 19 stretch goals.
What?
Yeah.
19? 19. Dear Lord.
And I was just like, I could not believe it. When I saw that, I'm just like, 19. You hit 19 stretch goals in under like a day and a half.
All things considered, that's got to be freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it runs until it has 17 days, like I said, or there's 16 days left now. And it runs out, let me see the date here real quick, May 14th.
Ooh.
And that is when it ends. So there's a link in the show notes. Go check it out if you feel like you want some of those little terrain bits, which is, you know, landscaping pieces and minis. Consider throwing them some shekels. So, Yeah, it's, you can buy just one or all three, and you get all the stretch goals with whatever you end up picking. And the more, obviously, the more crates you get, the better your discount is.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but check it out. They're, it's a lot of fun. And they, it's been blowing up my email with all of the notices. So.
Oh, man, it's oh, it's going to drag, isn't it? You're like, it's 3 a.m. What stretch goal did you hit now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because they're in Maryland, like, they stop posting after a certain time in the evening. Like, they're not watching it after a certain point. They, when I think when they hit their funding in 90 minutes, and they were busting through stretch goals faster than they were updating.
You're kidding.
No.
Whoa.
Like, they funded and hit their stretch goal 3 minutes apart, I think, or something absurd like that. So,
really?
Yeah, it was crazy. They hit Dang. It. They hit it, and then, like, yeah, because their initial goal was like 75,000, and the very first stretch goal was at like 82.
Cool.
And they popped both of them like within a couple of minutes of each other. At least it felt like it. So, yeah, it was just like, wow, that's insanity. So, yeah, lots of fun, though. I love watching my starters as I'm waiting on things to pop. Because I seem to get the minis, like, way more than anything else. I mean, I did the first Shadowrun video game, and I knew what I wanted. I sat there, and it just ran its thing. And this one, I'll probably end up maybe throwing out a real quick one when this one gets real close to the end, letting people know that it's still when it goes out. So. Because, yeah, they should put money towards it. Because I want more stretch goals. I do. I'm a greedy bastard.
Works for us.
So, yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps it up. So, let's go ahead and let that outro play. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zended,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zended@seizethegm.com.
Me at jules@seizethegm.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0, unported license.